How would you feel if you woke up one day and your ex-wife, who you think you are separated from, has gone down to the bank and taken nearly $100,000 out of your bank account without your permission? Well, it happened to this one man. And today we're going to go over this story as an ex-wife drained the joint account, leaving him only crumbs. And brothers and sisters, we're going to go over this today and figure out ways we can protect ourselves so this doesn't happen to us. Let's check this out.
Okay, let me get this straight. So to be clear, I have a checking and a savings, but I'm just inquiring about the savings.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just give me the balance on the savings, and then we can we can talk about the CD.
Okay, can you verify the last four of your social for me?
9623.
Okay, and the last name one more time.
Laird.
Okay, your savings account balance as of today is $120.17.
Hold on, wait. Is it two savings accounts or is this one savings account?
No, you just have a savings and a checking.
Hold on. Wait 1 second. Hold on. The savings account has what?
$120.17.
I'm sorry. What's your name again, ma'am?
Katrina.
Okay, Katrina. I'm sorry. It's just shock. As of when was that the balance? As of when?
September 26th.
A
week ago.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm gonna have some cereal. It's delicious.
Okay, hold on. There should be only one person on the account. It was originally a joint account, but I took her off. So who made this withdrawal?
Looks like the joint made the withdrawal.
Who? Yeah, because this don't make sense to me at all. Clearly, that account, that can't be right. That account has six figures in it.
So Sharon is no longer on the account?
That's her middle name, but no, she's not on the account. No, she's not on that account anymore. No. I took her off. That's my ex-wife. I took her off that account. So what are you telling me? I took her off the account. It's been maybe 2 weeks ago since I took her off that account.
Okay, well, I do apologize for any inconvenience. It looks like that the name is still on there. So I will have to check with someone to see if the paperwork was done. If the paperwork was done, maybe someone forgot to take the name off the account.
Who withdrew? Okay. How much money was withdrawn from there? Because I'm really trying to stay calm about this. But I'm hoping you tell me there's an error on your end.
Welcome back. My name is AB Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things in My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, as a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, I am here to tell you that some of the most basic, easy to understand things about financial planning go overlooked, and they are the ones that cause people's demise. This is something as simple as checking who is on your account. I'm dealing with my clients. We typically go over their accounts and their account titling. They think it's meaningless. Like, it's the same as been for the last 5 years, Mr. Ridgeway. Why are we going over this again? Why are we still talking about beneficiaries? Why are we talking about contingent beneficiaries? I love my family. Everything is okay. The reason we do this is for practice. I know this sounds weird, but it's for practice and for confirmation, because listen to this man. He went down to the bank. He took his ex-wife off 2 weeks ago, and she was able to go and drain this amount of money from him. That's scary. They were joint. And what did I tell you about joint accounts? Have you been following my show? When you have joint owners, regardless of who puts the money in, they have 100% access to every dollar. I don't care if this man put in $100,000 and she put $1 in. If she's the joint account owner, she can go and liquidate that account if she so pleases. Now, you may be thinking, well, she's not on the account. He took her off. In his mind, he took her off. But the paperwork may show something different. And what I mean by paperwork, he can sign the paperwork all he wants, but if it's not processed on their system, then she can still do what she just did. Now, am I saying it's legal? No. Can they go back to the date of the signature and maybe verify that she was not eligible to take it off and maybe there's some recourse with the bank? Maybe so. That might be his only outlet. But as it stands right now, we're going to listen to this phone call and see what's going to be the outcome. What is the banker going to say? How does he feel? Do you understand the emotion that he's going through, that he's losing six figures because he didn't verify that they actually processed the paperwork? We have to take that extra step. We have to call these companies and say, did you get my paperwork? Is it processed? Can I get a receipt showing that I am the only one on that account? Okay, let's keep listening.
$89,250. What kind of, wait. I'm sorry. Say that again.
A cashier's check was cut.
To who? Who did y'all make a... To the other person that was on the account?
Yes.
Okay, well, here's the deal. This is where y'all dropped the ball at, because that woman was taken off this account 2 weeks ago. So you guys dropped the ball on that. I made it clear when I called in.
I do apologize. Again, I apologize. I understand your frustration. Please don't yell at me.
Okay.
We're going to figure out what happened.
Yeah, I don't really want no apology. I really want this rectified. I mean, you telling me I apologize doesn't fix this, because you guys dropped the ball. I took this woman off the account 2 weeks ago. And if y'all left her on the account for whatever reason and you allowed her to take that out, then that's on you guys.
You're right, and again, I truly apologize. I was going to
get. Wait a minute. What paperwork? I've got the paperwork in which I took her off. This. How could she get back on the account? Please explain that to me.
Unfortunately, it looks like they did not remove the name.
Who is they?
The person that you were in the office, whoever you saw to do the paperwork to remove that person, didn't take her off.
Okay. Let me make sure.
Half of the transaction.
Okay. I'm gonna get back to that. How much is in the checking account now?
Okay.
She's not on that checking account. How much is on the checking account?
The checking account has $20,520.
Here's the deal. What's your name again, ma'am?
Katrina.
Here's the deal. Please excuse me if I'm raising my voice. I'm just a little passionate about my money being missing.
Brothers and sisters, I would be upset as well. One thing you have to understand about these calls, they can be very, very aggravating, very aggravating. If you lost nearly six figures, you probably would be up in arms as well. But keep this in mind, brothers and sisters, the person that you're dealing with is not the person who actually did the transaction. So you have one or two choices. You can burn the bridge with the person that you're talking to, or you can build another bridge to someone who can help you. I'm going to say that one more time. You can either burn the bridge for the person that you're talking to, or maybe even build a bridge to someone else who can help you. What that means is she knows she's not at fault. She is the one getting all the anger because the other employee didn't do their job. Now, he can build a friendship and say, what information do I need? So he can leverage that when talking to the other employee. He already did a good job of finding out that it was their fault, that he did the paperwork, that it was a mistake on their side. All those things are perfect. He is in the right so far. I mean, as far as what I can see. Now all he needs to do is keep his composure and win a friend so they can help rectify this in the future. So yelling at the first person that you talk to is really not a good idea. Now, if they're stubborn, they're not giving any information, make sure you just hang up, call again, see if you can get another representative, somebody else you can build a bridge with. Okay, let's keep listening.
So, no, it's not okay. No, hold on. Wait a minute. It's not okay because my money's still missing. Unless you're telling me that money's going to be put back in there immediately, effective immediately, then it's not okay.
Now, here's what we can do. We can put a stop pay on the check if she has not cashed it.
It's been, okay, when was this withdrawn? Nobody's going to hold on to that amount of money for, when was it withdrawn?
On the 26th of last month. I'm
sure she's cashed. Okay, what can we do now moving forward? Because that money's not hers and she's not supposed to be able to withdraw that money because I was specific about taking her off that account. So what can we do moving forward to fix this? Because I'm trying to keep it together without really snapping right now. So what can we do? Because I want my money back. That is not her money.
Okay, well, unfortunately, I will have to get with my supervisor and we'll have to come up with a plan.
Yeah, call your supervisor. If you can put me on hold and get your supervisor, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Yes.
I do apologize.
Yeah.
One second.
Now, many of you who are listening on the podcast, you can't see the video and the emotions. So if you are listening to this on the audio only version, make sure you come over to YouTube. I want you to see his facial expression. He really is holding back some, seems like some ferocious anger, but he's doing the right thing. You see that he doesn't have the phone up to his ear. I'm going to give you a customer service tip. Never talk to customer service holding your phone. Why? Because when you're talking to customer service, they are sitting at a desk. They have a headset, something like what I'm wearing right now. They are relaxed and they are talking to you. You, on the other hand, most likely, just like this man, you're standing on your feet. You have your phone up to your ear and your arm is getting tired. Your legs are getting tired. You are in this kind of fight or flight. Your adrenaline is rushing. So you are getting constantly fatigued. You cannot stand on your feet for 20, 25 minutes. Some of you may even pace around the room, raising your voice, raising your heart rate. That's going to take a toll on your physical body. So what you want to do, so you want to relax, get your favorite drink, maybe some tea, maybe some water, turn on the TV on low, then put your phone on speakerphone and then talk. You know, maybe get to a quiet place, make sure no one can hear you, but sit and relax. And when you do things like this, they say, let me get my supervisor. You say, okay, you turn up the TV and you go watch TV. You distract yourself for a little bit. You calm yourself down. So when they get back on the phone, you're not angry. You're not hangry. You're not all the things that are associated with the pain of this kind of mental fight. So you can maintain your mental capacity to fight what's going forward. Because what happens is you're going to get so tired, you're going to get more frustrated, and you're going to burn more bridges. So just a word to the wise, relax. Make sure you get on there. If they want to put you on hold for 20 minutes, that's fine. Put you on hold for 20 minutes, take a breather, go get you something to eat, whatever it may be. But don't get uncomfortable. Don't put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Let's keep going.
All this apologize. Don't apologize to me. Just get the money back in there. They didn't let this woman run amok and got the money. Okay. All right. If she hasn't cashed it, we can put a stop. Who gonna hold on to that much money for that long for 20?
Okay, Mr. Lowry?
Yes.
Okay, so you said my supervisor, Teresa, is at lunch right now. She's currently not available. So if you don't mind, let me get your number, your phone number.
Here's the deal. Katrina, listen, here's the deal. All of my information is on my file. You have everything that you need from me. Somebody needs to contact me. I don't, at this point, I don't even want to talk to a supervisor. I need to talk to whoever the head of that bank is. Because what y'all looking at is a huge lawsuit. That's what y'all really looking at. Because y'all allowed somebody to take some money off my account when I've already taken this person. We don't, that account is not a joint, that savings is not a joint account.
Right.
At all. So your supervisor needs to get back with me ASAP. Matter of fact, I'm going to just wait. I'm going to wait till she come back from lunch. We're just going to sit on the phone together. Wait. So wait, the checking, the savings account has $100 in it?
The savings account has $120.17.
Okay, can you tell me the representative that okayed this transaction?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to pull it up and see who was the, who's the representative who allowed this to go out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please let me know that name. Yeah, let's do that.
Do you by chance still have the business card that they gave you?
My business card? Yeah, I got it.
The business card that the representative that you spoke with?
No.
No.
Ma'am, listen. I don't have no business card. I don't know who that was.
Hey, Mr. Lair, I understand your frustration. I am currently looking up. Give me 1 second. I'm going to call
you. Yeah, because I don't have time to be thinking about who gave me a business card when it's $90,000 missing out of the account.
I'm not laughing, but. I mean, I'm laughing, but.
I am back. So it looks like the teller at the North Branch that you went to.
Yes.
Helped you. And his name is Brandon.
Okay, brothers and sisters. So my kind of red flag kind of came up here. My financial red flag and my history at the bank. She said a teller helped him with the transaction of removing them from the account. Now, I don't know how all banks work, but the bank that I used to work for, a teller was not someone who could take someone off of the account. What they could do is they can take that request and they could take it down to a banker, and then the person would sit down with a banker and they would remove the person off of the account. So for her to say it was a teller that made the mistake, I don't know. In the age of the internet, now I'm starting to think, is this a skit? And the reason I think this is a skit is for that main reason at all. A teller is supposed to cash checks. They're the ones that give you cash back. They're the ones that maybe even wrote that cashier's check for that individual if they saw it on the account. Now, there are some people who are dual bankers. There are bankers who can actually be tellers as well. So for her to identify that individual as just a teller and not a banker who was working the teller line, then that tells me, I don't know. The logistics don't necessarily add up, but the ideas are still the same. So I'm going to stop it right here, because if this is a skit, I don't necessarily want this to go too far, because then we're just going to be filled with false information. But I do want to stop it right here, because the main point has been made. This man had a joint account with someone, thought they took it off, and they didn't. So what can he do at this point? As I said earlier, he can take his documentation where he signed and he dated that this person should be taken off of the account. Now, since the person was not taken off of the account, then he has some legal recourse. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know exactly what he can do in this case to get his money back. I just know he's on the side of right. The first thing he could do is reach out to the bank. But once again, the bank is not in control of that money once it leaves the bank. They write the cashier's check. Maybe they deposit it somewhere else and it goes that way. Now, if there was some fraud involved, maybe their lawyer can send a letter out to the bank to freeze that amount if it's available. But who knows? She may have cashed it out. She may have went to go buy a car. You don't know where that money is. So what I want you to take away from this lesson is this, brothers and sisters. Account titling is very important. We have to have the names, the birth dates, and maybe even some contact information to make sure that the right people are on the right account at all times. We don't want a situation where someone is supposed to be off and they have full access to get you back, or to, I don't know, this ex-wife seems like she was maybe bitter or felt like she was entitled to some of the money. And she went in there and she wiped him clean. And he can save all he wants to. He can make all the right contributions to his 401k. He can roll it over. He can have a brokerage account. He can have a checking, savings, all this stuff. But if he doesn't have the account titling right, that's a problem. Now, brothers and sisters, is it difficult? No, it's not difficult to change a title. So, brothers and sisters, as we wrap up, I do want to talk about this, about joint accounts and the downsides of it, and how he may not have a case now that I kind of think about it. Now, when you have a joint account, once again, you have individual control. So each account holder has equal access and control over the account. We talked about that a little bit earlier, 100%, 100%. And we talked about who can take money out. Now, there may be some financial disputes about who spends what, like this person's spending too much of my money, or this person's not contributing enough. Those can cause arguments because people have different spending habits and different financial priorities for that account. Now, also keep this in mind, debt liability as well, meaning that if someone has a debt or a legal judgment and they're on that account, they can actually seize those assets. So if you have $100,000, someone gets sued, they can take your money if the courts allow it. Now, another thing is the closure process that we really want to focus on. When you have a joint account, it can require the consent of all parties, which can complicate the process if relationships deteriorate. And this is one of those prime examples. So when he said that I took her off 2 weeks ago, I'm starting to think, my little banker mind of mine, maybe the bank needed her signature to get off. Now, I'm going to put this caveat here, and this is why this is so complicated. If you're the primary on the account and someone else is the secondary can remove themselves without talking to the primary account holder. So the primary account holder typically has their social security, their address, everything else like that. Then the joint owner can add on as a secondary. That person can remove themselves, like, hey, I don't want to be on this account. I just want to separate myself, whatever it may be. They could just leave. But the primary, they're the ones that's going to have to get the approval of the secondary person in most cases. And once again, this may be bank specific. I don't know. Some people cut corners. My bank does it. My credit union does it. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they weren't supposed to. I'm not saying this is a general rule. I'm not saying this is a law. I am just saying that find out how your joint account actually works before you get burnt like this individual, especially when you're sharing accounts to people you barely know. And I'm not saying he barely knows his wife, but I'm just saying people say, well, let's get a joint account together or let's do this. It's like, yeah, we can do that, but there are some pros and cons you want to consider. And just being in love is not one of them. You could like a person all that you want to, but if you are not willing, let's say you're not married, if you're not willing to risk everything that you put into that account, you may want to think a little bit differently about having a joint account or even putting all your assets into a joint account. So brothers and sisters, this was very entertaining, is, you know, for whatever it's worth, but I want you to protect yourself. That's why I want you to get my four pillars to Christian investing. It goes over the four pillars, which are debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfer, so you can talk intelligently to your financial five. That's your financial advisor, your accountant, your lawyer, your power of attorney, and your executor. Because once again, I don't want this to happen to you. This is so simple to fix. So if you have any accounts under your name or whatever it may be, check those out today. When you get the mail, look, see who's on the account. If things are a little bit different, call your company, get that change, or talk to your financial advisor who could walk you through that process. And if you don't have a financial advisor, you know what you could do. You can come see me. The link is going to be in the description. Come visit us at abrwealthmanagement.com. The address is going to be right there at the bottom, and we can try to figure out how we can help you live rich and righteous. And before you go, make sure that you subscribe and you like if you learned anything about joint accounts or maybe something more than what you thought, and maybe I protected you from something. And the thing that you could do for me is, one, you could subscribe, like, but most importantly, go watch another video. Stay here with me. You know, let me teach you just one more thing. Go check out another one of our videos. We're going to have two at the end that you can choose from, or you can go to our page, select a video that speaks to you. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.